And that may we all achieve what you've called us to achieve, Father, and may the grace that is on this school rest on everybody that participates in it. We give you glory and honor as always. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us inside the mind of God so we can know those thoughts that he's been thinking towards us. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn me to Matthew's the 16th chapter. Tonight I'm going to do a lot of reading because there's some information in this second chapter that I want to make sure you get and make sure you have. This is going to be very important. If you don't grab this particular chapter, the rest of this book is gone. It's going to be hard for you to grasp. Last week we began to talk about, you know, we really focused on Jacob and how church, we can't do church as usual. In other words, I can't come to church looking for my word to deal with my situation because that gives a sense of selfishness. It should be, God, I'm here to find out what you want. God, I'm participating to find out what I can do. What will you have me to do? God, how can you flow through me? It took Jacob a while to figure this out because even though Jacob left Isaac with the blessing because he got it from Esau, remember that, he still took 20 years for him to realize that the blessing was not just to empower him for his own purposes. It was to empower him to do for God what he couldn't do by himself. So it was not until he had that encounter with that angel that caused him to and the angel touched his hip and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But that particular moment caused his flesh to be completely broken down. So he now had to trust on the power of God to help him do what God called him to do. Are you seeing this? So tonight, we're going to deal with chapter 2. And as I said, you know, if you don't grab a hold of this particular chapter, then the rest of this book is going to be out in left field for you. We have to understand the purpose of the church. If we don't understand the purpose of the church, the original purpose of the church, and where we're going to find out about the purpose of the church is going to come out of the mouth of who establishes all things, Jesus Christ himself. Matthew the 16th chapter, watch this. Let me get there. Matthew the 16th chapter, it's in your book in the first chapter. I think the author reads out of New King James Version. Sometimes, because I'm not used to reading out of the New King James Version, it throws me off. So let me find it in the regular King James. Matthew, the 16th chapter. 16th chapter, verses 13 through 19. Watch this. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, watch this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now watch Jesus' answer to Simon's remark. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. Remember, we were talking about Jacob had to, that flesh had to be broken. All right, it had to be broken. So in order for us to truly understand the purpose of the church, that means our flesh going to have to be broken. If it's not, we won't fully understand the purpose of the church. All right? He said, watch this. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now keep listening. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not Peter being the rock, but a process that Jesus is developing right here. All right? Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the purpose of the church. Verse 18, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of earth. Listen. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. And whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in what? In heaven. He did not give us the keys to the kingdom of earth. So watch this. The whole purpose of the church is simply what was the purpose of Adam and Eve. Let's go read this. Go to Genesis 3rd chapter. Watch this. Because we always, if Jesus, see, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Redeem, we all know what the word redeem, and for those who don't know what the word redeem means, it means to put back in a former position. So there was a position that was lost, or there was a purpose that was lost that Jesus and only Jesus can recover and give us the right to finish what God wanted us to finish. All right, Genesis, the 3rd chapter. You know, the 1st chapter of Genesis, God did some things. God recreated the earth and put seed in the garden and made it beautiful. The 2nd chapter went on to say he put gold in it. The gold was good. He put onyx in it. He did all these beautiful things. The garden was laid. All right, it was laid out. I mean, all Adam and Eve had to do was, watch this, dress and keep the garden and spend time with God. That's it. They really didn't have to worry about planting no seed, because at that moment the ground was so fertile, seed would fall off the trees, replenishing the earth, stuff just growing on its own. Why? Because the presence of God was all over. So they really didn't have no too much responsibility but to dress and keep the garden and to spend time with God. All right, watch this. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that thou eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good with food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now see, watch this. Satan's ultimate goal was to stop man from destroying his kingdom. See, when you study the Word of God, you have to read the Word of God, and then you have to dig in the Word of God. That means you have to go to other commentaries. That means sometimes you got to hear what other men and women of God are saying. Sometimes you got to study to 1 Timothy 2:15. To study to show thyself approved. Now here it is. Here's the problem. Here's one of the things that we in the United States have to change about how we read the Bible. First of all, we got to realize that the Bible was not written in our language. What written in English? Second thing we got to realize is that it wasn't written in our culture. So that means we have to sometimes go outside of our Western Hemisphere thinking to understand. You're going to get this in Living by the Book with Reverend Montrell. How you supposed to observe, and he's going to get to how you're supposed to dig, and how you lay the Word of God out, how you begin to explore. Because first of all, one of the first things we have to realize in the Garden of Eden is that Eden was not covering the earth. It was only a little portion of the earth. See, a lot of people assume that when God recreated the earth, we say it all the time, we figure he took the whole earth and made it Eden. No. He took a portion. Because if the whole earth was Eden, then where did God expel Adam and Eve to? There had to be somewhere they had to go. So when God told Adam and Eve, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, he was not talking about having babies. What? God was simply saying, I want y'all to be in Eden long enough so I can train you on what to do. Then I'm going to loose you into the darkness, because now you got dominion. I've given you made in my image. You have the authority. I'm going to loose you into the darkness of the rest of the earth, and I want you to duplicate what you saw here. Are you seeing this? Is this making sense? Is it clear? Because you got to remember now, Satan was dispelled from heaven. When he got dispelled from heaven, the only place he can go, God cast him down into the earth. That's why the earth was void and dark. No, nothing. It was his evil that was abounding. So God said, I'm going to take a space of the earth, which I created for man originally. I'm going to take a space. I'm not even going to deal with the devil. I'm going to let Satan know how powerless he is. I'm going to make a creation. I'm going to make them powerful, and I'm going to let them deal with him. See, this is why Jesus had to become flesh to deal with Satan. God could have easily have dealt with Satan, but it would have been illegal, because now he would have made a powerless creature. Are you seeing this? So in the Garden of Eden, when they got expelled, then they were expelled from the Garden of Eden to deal with darkness how they best see fit to deal with darkness, because they chose to try to become like God without his input. Are you seeing this? So because of this, we have lost the purpose of the church. When Jesus came and died on the cross, watch this now. When he came and died on the cross, Jesus put us back, and that gave us the opportunity to be put back where Adam and Eve had messed up. So now it's no more you looking. That's why you shouldn't be putting off till you go to heaven. Don't be putting off till you go to heaven what you're going to do in heaven. It needs to be what you're going to do right now. Because you have the authority and the power to recreate Eden right where you are. Is this making sense? So when Jesus died on the cross and redeemed mankind, he put man in a position, listen to me, internet, put man in a position to where they can pick up where Adam and Eve left off. See, because the world, see, when God created Eden and the rest of the world was dark around Eden, it's really no different than what it is today. It's just now, it ain't dark without light. It's dark without morals. It's dark without God. It's dark without his agenda. Just talking to a pastor today, and man, he blessed me. You don't realize how much he blessed me. He was saying he was listening to another gentleman. Another gentleman was ministering. He said how, you know, the Bible says that we are the light of the world, right? And we're the salt of the earth. Well, the world and the earth not the same. The world and the earth is not the same. The world is a system. The earth is the Lord's. So watch this. So now, if we're the light of the world, I'm talking about purpose of the church now. I'm talking about the purpose of the church. If we are the light of the world, that means that we ought to be shining light on the world system to show other people how broke it is. How do you shine light on something to prove that it ain't how you? Well, by living for God, by living how he designed us to be, by living that way, then it compares how we living on his kingdom system to the world system. Now watch this. It makes no sense to turn a light on in a room to show somebody something if the room empty. So it makes no sense for us to light up the world system and show them, hey, you ain't doing it right, if they look at us and we ain't really doing it like we supposed to be doing it either. That's you, that's us telling somebody, man, I got a room full of stuff. I want you to come see this, come see this, come see this, come see this. And you flip on a light in that dog room and ain't nothing in the room. They like, what? What you come to show me? Are you seeing this? We have to understand the purpose of the church. If we don't understand the purpose of the church, then we just are going to be playing church. We're just going to be going through the motions. Are you got me? Now, let me start reading. I'm going to do a lot of reading because the author has a lot of information. You know, the author begins to talk about in chapter 15 and 16, Jesus began to talk about the false doctrines. Beware of the false doctrines. Beware of, in chapters 15, beware of those coming with their own doctrines. And we're going to get to why in a minute. Watch this. He says this. You have to be aware of false doctrines, teachings, traditions, precepts of men, and their ever-changing value systems and opinions that are derailing the church from her assignment here on earth. We cannot build the church on those interpretations of the scriptures of those who have stopped moving on with God. So we cannot, this is very clear, we cannot build the church on men and women of God who have stopped moving with God. Do y'all know how denominations begin? Let me tell you how denominations begin. I'm talking about Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ. Now, they all getting people born again. That ain't what I'm talking about. But all these denominations, the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, all these different denominations that develop, they develop because man wants to control God's agenda. Every last one of those denominations started off moving with God. But as soon as somebody come along and have been spending time with God that sees another facet of God that they don't see and they can't control it, they block them out. Are you seeing this? So therefore, they begin to come up with rules and regulations that begin to try to control man and try to control what they do, control their actions. And that's not how the kingdom of God operates. Denominations develop because man wants to control other men, ultimately wants to control the money. We're in school, right? We're going to be real, right? So we cannot build the church on the ever-changing value systems of men. We're in a prime example right now. There are people in the church right now, contrary, even though the Bible plainly says that God said in the last days men are going to be lovers of themselves. God plainly says that. God, we should have no part of that. But yet you have churches that are bending over backwards to try to appease the homosexual population of this country. I didn't say we shouldn't love them. That ain't what I'm saying. Oh, Lord, I don't get off subject. We as Christians have problems. We try to love people where we want them to be and not love them where they are. We always love people where we want them to be instead of loving them where they are. See, you're going to learn in the culture of honor with Reverend John Davis that people have a right to make choices. I mean, God walked in the culture of honor with Adam and Eve. No, he didn't want to eat off their fruit, off that tree. But he had to put it there. And notice Eve said to herself, no, I'm sitting in the midst of the garden. So in other words, it was in the middle. God ain't hiding behind no thorn bush. He ain't putting no barbed wire around it. It was right there because they have to be given a choice. So we as Christians have to begin to love people at where they are and then love them to where we want them to be. For instance, you got a klepto that just can't keep his or her hands off of stuff. You don't give them no money until I go to the store for you. But most Christians want to love them where we want them to be. We want them to be honest. We want them to have integrity. So we want to give them, and next thing you know, now your $100 gone. Now you're mad. Now, oh, Lord, I need you to give me another $100. Lord, say, no, you gave it. We have to love people at where they are. And that was my side trip. That was my spiel right there. But understanding the purpose of the church, we cannot be led astray by the opinions of men. The church cannot be built on the opinions of men. The church cannot be built by man's ever-changing value system. See, these good ideas and you got ministers now doing all sorts of things. You got ministers trying to be actors, and you got them doing reality shows now. And you have them they're trying to fit in. Trying to fit in so they can win. You can't act like somebody and look like somebody and tell them you're living different. Because the first thing they're going to say is, well, you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You out here hustling like I'm hustling. So what this Jesus you're talking about, what makes it so different that I need to stop doing what I'm doing? Are you seeing this? So we cannot build a church on the changing opinions of men. It has to be set on something that is never changing, which is Jesus Christ himself and him crucified. The best way to expose the inaccurate teachings and doctrinal errors is by raising a new breed of disciples who will live and model the revealed truth God is currently speaking. Notice what God is currently speaking. Back to what denominations develop because men stop moving with God. When men stop moving with God and begin to develop who they think God ought to be, that's when doctrinal error begins to creep into the church. See, that's when all this crazy stuff begin to get in the church. Stuff we can't explain. Stuff that don't match up with the Word of God. The disciples who understand and live out of the new revealed truth will be the standard bearers to those who choose to be offended by what God has revealed to us. Other words, when you decide that you're going to go after God and what he wants, people around you that have their own agenda will become upset with you. When you refuse to begin to play them games that they used to play in the church, they're going to get upset with you. And really, it's a good thing that they get upset with you and just walk on away. Because they were doing nothing but holding you back from the reality of what God wanted you to do and designed you to be. Watch this. When Jesus was asking what others thought about him, he was revealing the inaccurate conditions and perceptions in the people's mind. What it said in that 16th chapter? Some thought you were Isaiah. Some called you John the Baptist. Some say you were one of the other prophets. Now, unfair to those people, only God could reveal who Jesus was. But the point Jesus was trying to make to his disciples is the job that they had in front of them in relaying the importation, the information, the agenda of who Jesus really is. See, men had all kind of ideas of who he was. Matter of fact, they changed 3 and 4 times on Jesus. You know, if you remember at one time, they followed Jesus because of his signs and miracles. He's a prophet, man. We're going to follow Jesus. They followed him because of the signs and miracles he was performing. Then another time, they tried to grab Jesus and force him to be king. And that's the same people that crucified him. So their opinions change. Are you seeing this? But you cannot allow people to change your opinion, or you can't build your life or build what God has called you to do on the opinions of men. You're going to have to do it based on what God is saying. Or am I making myself clear? See, this is why Jesus was laying the foundations for his disciples. Now, up on this rock, he said, I will build the church. That's what he said, right? Upon this rock, he said, thou art not Peter, and upon this rock, I will build a church. He wasn't talking about Peter as a rock. He was talking about this process. What process? The process of God revealing to you what nobody else can know, only by God revealing it to you. I'm going to say it a different way. Other words, he said, I'm going to build the church through revelation from God himself, not through the opinions of man. See, one of the greatest mistakes that ministers make, one of the greatest mistakes, and please don't you ever make this mistake. One of the greatest mistakes that ministers make, most of them make this. The mistake they make is they don't realize people have spirits. What's so important about that? Well, people can, they might not be able to explain the fun that's going on, but they have a knower on the inside of them that'll say, hey, something ain't quite going right here. I can't put my hands on it. Some of you may have been in churches, been in situations where stuff wasn't right. You couldn't quite put your hand on it because they're doing everything right. They got the right music going on. The pastor, like he's preaching, it seems like it's anointed and it seems like everything, but it's something ain't. Because some things happening behind closed doors that we can't see. So we cannot make the mistake as ministers that people have spirits. And God speaks to those people. Are you seeing this? God speaks to those people, and we have to realize that the same God that is speaking to us is speaking to them. Might not be saying the same thing, but he is talking to them. And he is not going to let us, as leaders, lead them astray. So that rock that Jesus was talking about is the process of him revealing what cannot be known other than by the Holy Spirit. We'll go to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. First Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. This is the rock that Jesus was talking about in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things that you had not seen, had not heard about, or have not dreamed about. This is how the church, this is how I'm going to build a church. So now, if any man or woman of God is becoming stale, look out. It's about to be trouble on the horizon because they no longer move with God. No longer move with God. Jesus said in John, the 15th chapter, I think verse 3, he said, the words that I speak unto you. No, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say the words I have spoken. He said, the words that I speak given a current, present tense. So that means, Matthew 6 chapter, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God is always talking. So I can't be living off a 20-year-old revelation. That revelation was for that moment. That revelation is in the foundation that is being built. I can't fight today's issues with a yesterday revelation. We can't build today's church off of yesterday's revelation. We can't build today's church off of the Ten Commandments. Because we found out that the Ten Commandments ain't did nothing but expose what we wasn't doing right. Okay, now that you've exposed what I wasn't doing right, how are you going to help me not do it? That's where the blood of Jesus comes in. So can you imagine us trying to skip over Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and trying to establish a church on the Ten Commandments? But yet the Ten Commandments is in the foundation of the blood of Jesus. Because if I get the blood transfusion, that means I will now have the ability not to do those things that I don't want to do no more. Are you getting this? God is always speaking. He is constantly revealing things. See, this is where the culture of honor is so important, because we have to respect each other. We have to respect each other. We have to respect each other and the dues that have been paid. Are you seeing this? See, because denominations, because they've been developed, God could be knocking on the door of their denomination to begin a revival, but because it ain't come from their camp, because they didn't raise them up, because for whatever reason, because they think the money, that person gonna come in and begin to grab the attention of the people and take their all, not the people, but take the money. They ain't think about the people. Are you seeing this? We're gonna have to rely. This is why in the first chapter, I'm gonna keep making reference to these chapters, because these things, I want these things to begin to connect for you. This is why Jacob had to understand this thing couldn't be done in the natural. It has to be done in the supernatural. Other words, the church being built is not going to be about what kind of marketing strategy we can come up with. It's not going to be based on how intelligent we are when we stand in the pulpit, how eloquent we sound. It's not going to be about how we come up with this strategy to attract the people in our community. It's not about that. It's about God, his agenda, and him revealing to us how he wants his agenda to be accomplished. Now, inside of that circumference, you'll have the strategies. Inside of that circumference, you'll have the marketing strategies. Inside the circumference, you'll find the eloquent words needed to attract people's attention. But it can't happen outside of him, his agenda, and his instructions, his kingdom, how he wants things done. Are we seeing this? When the church is built on the opinions of men, it will abort the purposes of God as well as God's assignment for her. Watch this. Peter swung between different streams of information. First, he reported all the opinions of men. That's in Matthew 16 chapter. You got to read that. Then he received what the Father was revealing to him concerning Jesus. This form of information was the revelation of the Father God directly to him. It was information not accessible to flesh and blood. It was the revelation of the Holy Spirit from the Father. Are you seeing this? At one time, Peter went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and the power got so strong, Peter said, "Forget all them down there. Let's build 3 tabernacles and stay right here." Jesus said, "No, Peter, we can't stay up here. We coming up here to get the power so we can go back down to the people." Peter wanted them all for himself. See, they're changing opinions. Now, Jesus, he was just with Jesus earlier in his life, and Jesus was telling him the purpose of the church. "I'm going to Peter, upon this church we're going to build this rock. We're going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, we bind on heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, be losing heaven." So Peter understood that, hey, we've been trained because we're going to train other people how to do this. Peter got to that mountain, seen all that power. Peter said, "Forget the people." Changing of opinion. You seeing this? Watch this. Another example of changing opinion is seeing the woman at the well. That's in John, the 4th chapter, verse 7 through 30. She grew in her perception of Jesus gradually until she left her water pot and went on to impact the whole city. Her gradual progression of revelation helped her discover who she was in the light of him. Her ability to leave the water pot and go take the city was founded on the revelation of who he is to her. We become who we need to be in the light of him. That's a powerful statement. When we begin to, great time to say this. Let me correct, some of you may have heard this statement before. Let me correct it. I know you've heard people say God first, family second, church last. That means if you order that chronologically, that means you got to make a choice between one or the other at some point in your life. But when you operate with God, the Father, and his agenda, God is not the author of confusion. Everything God does works in harmony. So you need to look at it like this. God is the center, and everything else revolves around him. When you think of it that way, and when you begin to condition your mind like that, now you're no longer making choices. You're letting God orchestrate your life. Everything falling in place. Everything falling in place. Everything falling in place. Nothing, when you allow God, whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. God, you the center. Every decision, like every major decision I got to make, God, what do you think about this? What are you saying? And when you do that, you open the door for God to harmonize. Nothing is more beautiful than seeing a group of people come together, their voices, they got great voices, and they harmonize. Sopranos, tenors, altos, they come in. Ain't nobody trying to, one is not trying to dominate the other. They come in and they harmonize and they make a beautiful sound. Well, it shouldn't be your family. It shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be, God ain't trying to dominate your life. God ain't trying to dominate your life. He ain't trying to dominate you. God wants to make everything work in harmony. Nothing is going to be hollering louder than the other. Are you seeing this? Everything has to work in harmony. So that can't happen unless Jesus becomes the center. Once he becomes the center, then everything else can become clear. She didn't have the courage or the ability or the understanding that she could hold win a whole city until Jesus told her, "You don't have to be like this. This is not who you are. This is who you were. You weren't designed to be this way." Peter, man, a lot of people talk about Peter, but Peter had it going on. You understand what I'm saying? Peter was fishing. And when Jesus used his boat, Peter said, "Jesus, I ain't doing nothing catching these fish." Peter gave up his whole business to follow Jesus. Here's another man that had a chance to follow Jesus. Mark the 10th chapter, the rich young ruler. Had a chance, was supposed to be one of the disciples. Probably was supposed to be one of the 12. I want you to understand that the 12 that Jesus chose, is Lord have mercy, it's a chronological. Joel, the second chapter. I ought to turn down. Let's see how much time I got, because I got to cover some ground. Joel, the second chapter. In Joel, the second chapter, he began to talk about, he said, "In the last day, I'll pull my spirit upon all flesh." Right? But before he said that, he began to say, "I'm going to fill the vats. I'm going to have the all overflowing." He said, "Then I'm going to pull my spirit out on all flesh." The reason why, and people in LTMA, they wonder why, Dr. Thompson talks about seesawing so much, is because we have got to get this money issue out of the way before God can really use you. Because if you don't, your attention ain't going to be on him no more than what he can do for you. If you notice the 12 disciples, all of them had money when Jesus called them. Peter had a successful fishing business. He wasn't successful that day, but he had enough money to have his own boats, his own nets, and he had partners, people working for him. Because the Bible says he begged for his partners. Are you seeing this? See, these wasn't people following Jesus that had other things that were stopping them from doing what God had called them to do. See, this is why, Luke the 16th chapter, Jesus said, "If I can't trust you with the unrighteous mammon, How I'm going to trust you with the true riches? If you're not faithful in that which is least, I know I can't trust you with the much. So there's a process that has to be gone through. And when you go through that process, now God is refining you and said, now I can have their full attention. They're not on the world system. They're on kingdom system. They're not working for money. They're sowing. Are we seeing this? Because the reason why the rich young ruler was attracted to Jesus in that facet is because, watch this, Jesus knew that he would have his full attention. Because he wasn't going to be worried about if his bill's going to get paid. Are you seeing this? So, but the problem was the rich young ruler didn't want to get that money up. Because Jesus didn't ask him to give his money away. He told him, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Why? Because you're finna start traveling, partner. You ain't got time to be going back and check on all these. You ain't got time to be going and check on this mansion. You ain't got time to go check on these cows and check on these sheep and check on these camels and stuff, all that stuff you got. Sell all that stuff, give it to the poor. You still going to, matter of fact, Jesus wanted to prove to him how much he would take care of him. He told him, look, I'm going to send y'all 2x2. Don't take no money with y'all. Are you seeing this? The rich young ruler couldn't see himself in the light of Jesus. He couldn't see who he was in Jesus. He only saw who he was within himself. Y'all know what that's called? That's called pride and ego. The number one enemy to the government of God, to the apostolic, pride and ego. That's number one. It's not Satan. Satan is not the number one enemy to the kingdom of God. No. The number one enemy to the kingdom of God is man thinking more of himself than he should think. So therefore, when you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that means you can't yield to who God has designed you to be. Joel, the second chapter. Heaven must explode into us the flow of revelation from the Father's heart. See, we're going to understand, we're going to begin to study the gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. I truly believe that there's a chronological order to those gifts. I believe you first got to be an evangelist, then you go on to be a teacher, then you move on to be a pastor. Then you move on to be a prophet. And then you finally, eventually, if God called you, you'd be an apostle. I don't believe in no apostles just starting off. All right, let me tell you why. Let's define what an apostle is. An apostle is just not a messenger, contrary to some definition. It's not just a messenger. An apostle is the one who helps lay a foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He laid a foundation no man can lay. Apostles build on that foundation. Give you an example. The Apostle Paul. If you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus talk about salvation, preferably with Nicodemus. But if you read Nicodemus, Jesus and Nicodemus' experience, Jesus never told Nicodemus how you actually get born again. He just told him, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, what, I got to go into my mom's womb again? How do I understand this? Are you seeing this? It was not until Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10, that we begin to realize how a person gets born again. Who wrote Romans? So, wait a minute. Let me ask you this question. There were two major scriptures that most of us heard when we got born again. When somebody was witnessing to us, when somebody was preaching to us, or somebody was sharing Christ with us, it was John 3:16, right? And Romans 10. So it was the words of Paul that built on the foundation of John 3:16 of how you get born again. It was a man that did that. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, an apostle structures heaven to earth government. structures heaven to earth government. Other words, how God wants things done is first revealed to the apostles. That's why Paul wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. Because he was going through and establishing Peter. Peter was an apostle too. But the Peter problem was Peter, when he got among the Gentiles, started acting funny. And when he got with the Jews, he began to go back to their old traditions. So God realized, I can use Peter only so far. But here's a man that was a Jew, persecuting Jews, come out of that, had an experience, and now went on to, are you seeing this? Paul found out who he was through the light of Jesus. So Paul went to, from the extreme, Paul went from persecuting Christians to going to write the New Testament by which we study this. We teach out of the New Testament. It was written by a man who was once persecuting Christians. But when he found out who he was in the light of Jesus, he really found out who he was. And he was able to find his place in the kingdom of God. Are you seeing this? You see how important this is? There are three major purposes of the church. About to shut down here. Three major purposes of the church. I'm going to give you the three and we're going to continue next week. And I think, not next week, but the week after, I think is our exam. It's our first exam. And next week, I tell you what our exam is going, what chapters our exam are going to be on. Of course. Now, I remember now, I'm giving you a heads up. It's going to be open book. Open book. So that means I'm going to give you a chapter. I'm not trying to trick you in all this. I'm going to give you what chapters you're going to read. Yeah, I did say chapters. And you will find, if you read those chapters, you ain't got no problem passing my exam. So here are the three purposes of the church. We're going to start on them next week. The church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. Wow. Got to be connected to heaven and then reveal the Father. There's some churches that are trying to reveal the Father without being connected to heaven. Really, what it means to be connected to heaven is to be connected to his government. Isaiah 9 and 63, the government shall be up on his shoulders, meaning Jesus' shoulders. Jesus laid a foundation that no other man can lay. And upon that foundation does the apostles and the prophets build. Are you seeing this? We're going to get into all that. Second one, the church must shut down the gates of hell. Other words, the church has to put an end to what Satan has been trying to do in earth realm. The church must extend the kingdom of God's ways of doing things without limitations. Other words, it should be nothing that limit God's kingdom from spreading all across this earth. No problem. Three major purposes of the church. The church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. Number two, the church must shut down the gates of hell. And number three, the church must extend the kingdom without limitations. All righty. Everybody got that? Hope you got it. Those that are watching by internet. Y'all have a wonderful night. I'll see you all. I'll actually see y'all tomorrow. Yep, I'll see y'all tomorrow. All right. Have a good one.